Thank you. My name is Frank, and I'm an alcoholic. This could be the shortest talk you've ever heard. About 6 years ago, I was speaking in St. Cloud, Minnesota. A lady came up to me today and reminded me that it was about 6 years ago. 24 hours later, I was in intensive care in Illinois, and the last 6 years have been an exciting adventure in survival. And I have not given any AA talks away from home in that six-year period, and prior to that, I talked everywhere.
Pull the mic closer.
And so it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens. I'm the luckiest guy that's ever been in Alcoholics Anonymous. You may feel the same way, and I approve of that. For the people that are new, I want to share some little memories that I have, because I don't intend to give any more AA talks away from home. And there's a beginning and an end, and you can only push the envelope so far. One day I was given a talk somewhere in Ohio or Indiana, I don't remember which. Do we have the microphone problem? Okay. And I was standing outside of the building. In those days I smoked, and I was having a cigarette, and the chairman came up to me and he said, "Listen, there's an electrical storm due to hit this area anytime, and we don't have a backup system for the microphone. So in the event that we lose the microphone, the meeting is over." And I thought to myself, what if I just get up there and bang, we're done? What if I have 6 seconds, 10 seconds to say something that might be meaningful to somebody that's new?
Get closer to the mic.
Okay. You want me to kiss this thing? I got it. In the event. And I thought to myself, what could you say in a matter of seconds that may be helpful? And I thought, it's very simple. Here's what I would say if I had 6 seconds to talk to you that are new. There is hope here, period. It's unlikely, as I said, that I would be here for more reasons than just simply health. In January of 1971, the longest sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous died. He had more time than any other member of Alcoholics Anonymous in the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. His name was Bill Wilson. A few months later, a young guy from Chicago, 18 hours sober, went to his first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm that guy. And at that meeting, I was told that I didn't have to say anything, and I chose to accept that. I didn't want to talk because I was ashamed to be there. I wasn't raised to be a man who needed help from strangers to live my own life. There was something contradictory about that. And I didn't go to that meeting because I was proud to be there. I went there because I was desperate, because I couldn't answer the prayer that I said that morning. And here's the prayer. God, what's wrong with me? God, why do I do that? God, who saw me? Where did I go? And that wasn't the first time I ever said that prayer. But something magical was happening, apparently, in my life on that day. At the first meeting, I said nothing. And then I was told, "You're going to a meeting tomorrow." I wasn't asked. They didn't tell me I had a choice. That's how it was then. They said, you're going to a meeting tomorrow and he's taking you. And you're to be on that street corner at this time, and that's where I went. That fella didn't tell me anything about not speaking. So it was a meeting with a lot of women and police officers. It was in Beverly Hills in Chicago. And I spoke. I don't know what I said. I have no idea what I said. Everybody shared, and I shared. After the meeting, I was asked to go over there. And the guy that brought me was asked to go over there. And everybody else from the meeting went over there. And they talked for a minute or two. And then he came back, and I said, what was that all about? He said, it was about you. I'm thinking, they don't know me. How could it be about me? He said, they told me you can never come back. They never want you to attend that meeting again. You frightened them. So I was kicked out of AA the day after I came here. And I was told never to speak again. How can that happen? How can that happen? Now, the last time I spoke here, I was told that it was tomorrow would be 29 years ago that I spoke here. And somebody just walked up and said that they checked the archives or the records, and it was 29 years. I can't give that talk because I'm not the same person. I'm 29 years older. I'm 75 years old. I'm 29 years older. When I was younger, I knew everything about everything. In looking back on my youth in AA and before AA, I realized that facts had nothing to do with my opinions. The less facts I have, the stronger opinions I have. I don't know as much as I used to know. I said to my wife, couple of months back, I said, honey, I am wrong more often now than I've ever been in my life. I mean, I'm getting old and I can't forget about this illness. Just my brain's not working. She said, Frank, you've always been wrong. You've just never known it. That's true. I don't know how long that marriage is going to last. So far, if we make it, in the next few months, it'll be 52 years. For her. You see, I drank right after the wedding, and I drank alcoholically for 10 years. And when I drink, I'm not married. I'm anything I want to be to anybody I want to be. And I want what I want, and I deserve to have it. I don't know about vows. I don't know about promises. I don't understand that. I drink. I drink because drink is my life. I'm not going to tell you anything about my drinking. because you know everything there is to know about drinking. I don't have to prove my right to be here. I've lived my life as proof to be here. That's just fact. Now, I'm going to tell you, we had this countdown. I'd like to do a little countdown of my own. I spoke here 29 years ago, and this room was packed. You couldn't put another person in this room. Would all the people that were here when I spoke 29 years ago please stand up? Yes. Great. Hold it. Hold it. Stay up. Stay up. Stay up. Stay up. I want to see, where are the others? The reason I say that is, if you're new, I'm glad you're here, but I want you to understand, it's hard to come here, but it's harder to stay here. That's just fact. This is the most successful thing that ever happened for people like me. But the truth of the matter is, more people leave here than stay here. That's just fact. I give you those facts not to discourage you, but to arm you with the reality that this is life and death and not a game. Now, if we took all the people... If we took all the people that have ever come to Alcoholics Anonymous and put them in two lines, one line would be those that are going to make it, and the other line would be those that are not going to make it. Now wait. The line of those that are going to make it is going to be very short, and the line of those that aren't going to make it is going to be endless. And the strange phenomenon about it is simply this. You know who decides who's in what line? You do. I do. There's no evil force. There's nobody destiny to not make it here. You will choose as I chose. I needed to save my brain. I needed to save my life. It had nothing about my wife and my three girls. It had nothing about my career as an attorney, because I didn't care. I thought I was going to lose my mind. Because you got to be smart enough to answer that question. Why do you do this? Why do you do this again and again and again? Why do you spend your whole life trying to raise yourself up so that you receive the admiration of others and then degrade yourself publicly and privately again and again and again and again? That's called alcoholism. And there's nothing pretty about alcoholism. There's no such thing as a pretty drunk woman. And there's nothing manly about a drunken man. Came here with some people from my group, heard I was going to do this, didn't believe it, and drove here to see it. And, You're judged by the company you keep, they say. I want to be judged by this group of men. Please stand up. I sponsor those guys. Now wait. I usually have them stand up when we talk about those people that come to AA with have other problems, mental problems. Let me tell you something about that group. And they're just accidental. That's not representative of our group. It's just they decided to come to see if I would really do this. That little group of men sponsors 147 men. They represent a small token of the people who I've dedicated my life to, and them to me. They average 30.6 years of sobriety per person. You know why I show them to you? Because this thing works. And they were young. One of them didn't make it. He was supposed to come from what country? Singapore. He came here at 17. I was going to give him his 28th coin here today. He was thrown out of 6 high schools. He called me, said, look, it's going to be 44-hour flight back and forth, but I'm going to come, but I have this real problem. And that is, I'm going to ask you for a pass. He said, we've got a big problem in China. He happens to be legal counsel for one of the largest international companies in the world. And he's in charge of Asia and the Pacific Ring. He couldn't stay sober at 15, 16, and 17. He's not here tonight. But he was going to be standing right there. This thing works, no matter how young you are and no matter how old you are. Me and they share another thing in common. We have problems in our life. Everybody has problems in their life. Nobody has a problem-free life, drunk or sober. That's just fact. I didn't know that. You see, now I understand things better, but I don't know things as many things. That's just how it works. That's how it works. I wish it was different. I could write a different script, but I can't. This thing really works. But you gotta do it. I remember giving a talk before I got ill to the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine asked me to come. And what they said is, we're only gonna have you, they're only gonna have you speak to physicians and nurses, doc, and mental health workers, and psychiatrists, and psychologists, and social workers. And I did. I just told them about my life in Alcoholics Anonymous. And at the end, the chief psychiatrist for the university said to me, I have a question. He said, isn't it true that most people who go to AA do not make it? I said, yep, that's right. And he said, isn't that proof that the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous do not work? And I said, not at all. They work 100% of the time. for the people who work it. I said, "Doctor, if you write a prescription and somebody fills it and they don't swallow it, does that prove that prescription is wrong?" Does that prove that the people shouldn't have taken it? I said, "Here's the difference. Talking about the steps, discussing the steps, is not taking the steps. It's like going to the hospital, checking yourself in, talking to all of the nurses and assistants, and not getting the operation. You aren't going to make it. You're going to die in the hospital, surrounded by all that help and all that kindness and all those dedicated people. That's what happens. And people choose not to take the steps. They choose to withhold a simple surrender. And that surrender is simply this: I'm not God, but I am one of his kids. And he wants me to be alive and happy and have a second chance at life. And that's what this is. Alcoholics Anonymous gives you and gives me a second chance at life, totally different, scripted any way you want. It's yours, free, because something will happen, and it happens to everybody that comes here, even people that don't do it 100%. Sooner or later, if you bond together, like we bond together, that little group of men, we become a we, a force of we. We make it. If I'm an I retreat into my own mind. The enemy is me, and I will lie to myself, and I will believe my own lies, and I will be gone. The power in Alcoholics Anonymous is the power of we. That's it. And this little group that I played around with, suggesting maybe there's something about the power of we. I don't know how many of us there are, because we normally have 500 or 600 people at our closed meeting. The room will not hold anymore, and we can't park any more cars. So the university near us offered me some years ago a 1,500 car parking lot and a meeting place that could hold 2,500 people. And I said, "No, I don't want to do that." Instead, I said to the people who were the nucleus of this we, I said, "Why don't you, in your own communities, start similar meetings?" And rather than us becoming a mob, why don't we just simply be examples of the best possible approach of Alcoholics Anonymous, the power of we? And they did. And I don't know how many there are, how many of those groups there are. I know that we're in many of the provinces of Canada because the Canadians came to observe what we do there. They came to the beginners meeting. We've had over several hundred thousand people come to the beginners meeting in the Lamont Oaks group. We fill the room, and it's an hour before the regular meeting, and we close the door and don't let anybody in exactly at 7 o'clock. If you come at 7 o'clock, in 1 second, you can't get in. It's not to be cute. It's not to be, it's just, I didn't know that it was necessary in life to occasionally conform. So if you want a seat, come early. And if you can't get here on time, come back next week. And that's what we did. Now they line up 40 minutes ahead because nobody doesn't want to get in. See, there's something funny about alcoholics. If you tell them they can do it, they say, I'll think about it. If you tell them you can't do it, they say, try to stop me. That's true. We have a lot of fun. Part of life is laughter, and part of life is joy, and part of life is just being silly. 30-some years ago, I decided we'll have a football team, a basketball team, and a baseball team. So the very first day I announced we're going to have a football team, could you imagine a football team? It's really true. So I had to start with, Tommy, stand up. Tommy was an All-American at Cornell. And Tommy could throw the ball 75 yards. Eddie, stand up. Eddie, Tommy was, during his life, the president of three companies. Eddie worked for the telephone company. Eddie was smaller and thinner then. But I tell you what happened. I said, all right, everybody run from here to the other goalpost. And Eddie won that race by 10 yards. And I said, who is that? They said, it's a new guy. His name is Eddie. I said, from now on, we refer to him as Fast Eddie. So I said, Eddie, here's what I want you to do. First down, I want you to go right down the middle as far as you can go. Tom, throw the ball as far as you can go. Throw it. Eddie ran 50, 60 yards. Tom threw the ball. Eddie caught it. We won. I said, that's it. We got a football team. We've had a lot of joy, Tom and I. We've also shared tears. We shared tears when he buried his 30-year-old beautiful daughter. And she worked here in Minneapolis. And nobody has a trouble-free life. And recently, Eddie's wife told him that she didn't want to be married anymore. Nobody has a trouble-free life. Joe Taylor, stand up. Joe Taylor was told by the doctor he's beaten so many illnesses, cancer, and this last thing, Joe, I sent you to Cleveland Clinic, and they said you would not survive the operation. They said you'll die any minute, and you won't know you're dead. You will be dead before you hit the ground because he's got a hole in his heart. Now, I've been sponsoring Joe for 30. I had him write it down, Joe. You'll be 35 years sober. And Joe is a tireless worker in Alcoholics Anonymous. They call him Sidewalk Joe. Because if you're new, he gets you in a restaurant until they close. and then he stays outside the restaurant until you can't stand it anymore, telling you about the hope that's in Alcoholics Anonymous. So we call him Sidewalk Joe. Joe used to have an airplane. Joe had an airplane. When I was a young guy and I did a lot of AA talks, Joe used to fly me. He'd say, listen, I could fly you from one place to the next. So I'd give a talk in Kansas or somewhere, and then the next day in Canada. And the first time I tried Joe Airlines, I just took everybody's word that, you know, he was an ex-Marine, and he's all this stuff. You could trust Joe. So we have a problem. I get in the airplane. We're in a terrible place. I don't know. I talked to a bunch of farmers in bib overalls, and they did not buy my crap. I mean, I just knew they didn't want me there, and I didn't want to be there. And I was a young guy, and I knew everything about everything except corn. Joe can't get the plane started. I got to get out of town. I got to fly to Canada to talk the next day. And so the mechanic comes up and says, Joe, where's the battery? And Joe says, I don't know. I'm going to fly with Joe. I don't know, he says. Joe was in AA before this 35 years. He had 12 years of continuous sobriety. And one day he thought, what's the difference? And he drank for 3 years. And he came back, and he and I put the we together. So really, had he not gone, he'd be 50 years sober. But when he came back and he says, can you help me? I said, I don't know. I can't help you, but we can. Whoever the we is, we'll just gather a lot of people like us, Joe, and we'll commit to each other. We're going to beat this thing. It can't beat us. The power of we is bigger than that. He says, okay, what should I do? I said, Joe, never ever tell anybody you once had 12 years. Don't take credit. Just act as if you've never been here before. Because, Joe, something happened in that 12 years. You missed something. If we start giving you credit for that 12 years, we're going to never discover what you didn't get. So why don't we start with day one? And now it's 35 years. And recently, I told him it's okay to tell people he had 12 years. Now, nobody's without trouble. 2 weeks ago, he buried his 51-year-old daughter from alcoholism. She drank herself to death. She literally did what people think is impossible. She drank herself to death. And he had to go there and look at the 80 pounds of skeleton, that all of her body function ceased, and he had to say, disconnect her. Nobody is without problems. People who have problems are still winners and sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was a little kid, they read books to me. They read those books to you. I don't know if they had the same effect. The book is about this person and that person. It always ends the same way. And then they live happily ever after. The biggest lie in the world. Nobody lives happily ever after. That's not life. That's fantasy. But it is possible to have a life and then an entirely different life, both in the space of one lifetime. And only can you find that in a place like this, a place called Alcoholics Anonymous. And you choose and I choose if it's possible. It's not some gift It's available to all of us. What's going to happen one day, you'll hang around here 2 days, 3 days, 4 weeks, 3 months, a year, and one day you'll wake up and you'll suddenly realize you haven't thought of drinking for a while. And you'll think to yourself, what do you mean? I haven't thought about drinking for a while. When I was 25 years sober, you were at my party. And they threw a party for me, my 25th birthday. And I said, we're celebrating the wrong day. November 3rd, 1971 is really a non-day. The day I'd like to celebrate, I don't know the day. I'd like to celebrate the day that the desire to drink left. And everybody knows that day happens. We just don't know when it happens. We know after the fact. It's like you wake up one day and you suddenly realize you don't feel dirty. And you don't know when feeling dirty went away. You wake up one day and you realize you don't remember the last shame. You hadn't thought about the secret. I'd like to know the day that the desire to drink left me. I'd like to celebrate that day, but I know it did leave. And one day, I was handed my life back. I think that the desire to drink is a gift from God, and it's removed. That removal of that is a gift from God. And then He gives me the right to dream of what I want to be when I grow up. And that's called recovery. And you're in charge of that. And I'm in charge of that. You know what I wanted to be? I wanted to be a husband, a father, a good guy, a stand-up guy. I wanted to be a guy that shows up when he says he's going to show up, does what he says he's going to do, and somebody who has compassion and not self-obsessed, but thinking out the box. And I thought to myself, anybody could do that, but not alone. Not alone. Again, it's the we. We don't go to a meeting. We are the meeting. I know all their families, all 440 of those people that regularly, we have a death list. Anybody that dies in your family. Anybody that dies in your family, within 24 hours, everybody in the group knows who died, where they're waked, and when the church is going to be, if there's going to be a church or a funeral. And everybody from the group goes every day, every place. 440 calls happened in that same day. That's been happening now for all these years. I remember early on when there was only 100 of us, I would say, all right, let's all go to John's mother died. John's got 3 months. We'll all show up at that wake, 7 o'clock, and we know the address, and at 7 o'clock, 100 of us would walk in. We'd say to John, do you mind if we go to the coffin? We would hold hands and we say the Our Father, and then we leave. And everybody in John's family said, who were they? And John says, they're my family. If you're new, don't just come. Be part of. The way to start is to ask somebody who you'd like to be like, not somebody you're like. Now, it may be confusing, but you see, we don't want you to ask somebody you like. We don't want you to ask somebody who's like you to help you, because we know you don't like you. So we suggest that you ask somebody you'd like to be like to help you, and let him be called sponsor, or her to be sponsor. Men don't sponsor men in where I'm from, or women. And that's just the way it is. We didn't have any women when we started this little group. We only had men. In one day, we figured we were mature enough to understand that we needed women in the group. But not until we understood that those women were somebody's daughter, somebody's wife, and they had to be safe from us when they came to us. Now we have hundreds and hundreds of women at our group. And then we had to have a meeting, the women had to have a meeting, and remind them that that's somebody else's husband. Once we straightened that out, we started the meeting. We have in our group 7,100 years of a continuous sobriety. We don't do anything different than you do. It's just Alcoholics Anonymous. It's just the we, the power of we. It's not special. It's not different then. It's just pure AA. Practiced in connection with other people, and our focus is not on me, it is on them, and their focus is not on them, it is on me. And me is you and anybody that walks into that room. That's just the way it is. It's old-fashioned AA. But we also understand, if you don't want to do this, our job is not to make you do it or convince you to do it. If you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. And if you're not, you're not. That's it. That's AA. If you're not, you're not. You're not a bad person. We don't look down on you. You're just not ready. They used to say that when I came into Alcoholics, and I am the luckiest guy in the world. I said this before, I'm going to say it again, over and over again. I was never supposed to open my mouth in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I tell you, I'm glad I have been able to be restored, to be able to convey what I really believe in my heart, that this is the best thing I ever happened to me. Walking in that room, being afraid and disgusted was the best thing I ever did in my life. It's the best thing that you did in your life, if you are like me. Ross, stand up. Here's a crazy guy. Ross came to us. How long were you sober when you came, Ross? How much? A month? Okay. We used to have a Saturday morning walk. We would walk 4 miles every Saturday around the golf course. 20 all year long, in the winter, in the summer, we just walked. We started the weekend every day, every Saturday, by taking a walk. So he comes out and decides to walk with us. He gets so enthralled with this walk, he decides after the walk and we go home that he would run around the golf course. I mean, talk about compulsive. Since then, Ross, how long are you sober? Let me look on my list here and see. Ross Myers, 30 years. Since that time, Ross has run 80 races over 30 miles. And while he's sober, member of Alcoholics Anonymous, he's run 8 100-mile races over the Rocky Mountains. Pretty cool. Because in his opportunity to have another life, he just wanted to do that as part of his life. And he decided to do it, and he did it. You see, it's like God gives you a window. And all he says to you is the desire to drink is gone. You don't feel dirty anymore because you're not doing that stuff anymore. You're free. Now, what do you want to be, Helen or Jane or Bob or Tom? What do you want to be? Here's the window of your life. Picture 5 years. What do you want to be? Where do you want to be? What do you want to be doing? Where do you want to be living? How do you want to feel about yourself? It's yours. You can have it. It's free. All you got to do is decide and pursue it. And the answer shouldn't be, I don't know. The answer is, if you're given an opportunity to live two totally different lives, grab it. You'll find out if you do it with others and you care about their getting to have that life, you will automatically be given your dream. The damnedest thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is the more you care about others, the more you are cared for. You get more out of it than you give it. It's crazy. This is the best investment ever invented. You put in a little and you get back a lot. Who doesn't want to play that game? A lot of people don't want to play that game because they have the answer. My case is different. I don't want to have to go there. I don't have to want to go to those meetings. I don't want to have to sit there. Why? Because I don't want to. Okay, don't do it. We need your cheer. You had the international convention here, and remember in 2000, that convention started at midnight. I was the opening speaker. Now wait, and 300 people from my group came. Now the problem was, the opening ceremony was in a little room. We didn't have the convention center. We had a meeting place. I don't even remember. You were there. There was no room for the thousands and thousands of people to come because my people, us, the we, filled the room. So we sat on the floor so the others could sit in the seats. And we filled that room. And we kicked off one of the best conventions ever had in Alcoholics Anonymous right here in Minneapolis. That's true. I was given some talks in Scotland a long time ago, and I had my grandson with me. He was 10, 12, I don't know. I didn't participate in my children's lives, but I've been the best grandfather for 7 grandkids known to mankind. And I've seen the world different through their eyes. Danny and I have traveled all over the world together. I don't know, he's been to 20-some countries from the time he was 8 till the time he was 18. I remember sitting in Switzerland one day having dinner on June 15th. That's his birthday. And he said, "Papa, next year, do you mind if I'm home on June 16th? And I said, or 15th. And I said, "Danny, why do you ask?" He said, "Because I'm going to be 16. And I've never been home for my birthday since I was 8. I was always in some other country." So I said, "Next year you can be home." And we left the day after his birthday. And we went to Zurich. We went to Switzerland. And then we went to see the death camps in Poland. And then we went to see the Pope in Rome. And I showed him what great good man can do to man, and I showed him what great tragedy man can commit against men. And we stood in Buchenwald, and we saw the gas chambers. And if you ever go there, you'll see these big barn-like buildings full of hair and shoes, children's shoes, hundreds of thousands of little shoes taken from the kids before they entered the gas chambers. That's the real life. That's cruelty. But it exists. And so does love and compassion exist. And we choose which what we believe in. It's not forced upon us. The we that are together in beating this thing, because we beat it 100% of the time, when we arm ourselves with the we never lose. Are compassionate, cannot possibly think in the terms of gross harm for any reason to any group of people. That's the difference. That's who we are now. We think different and act different, and it's not hard. All I had to do is surrender that I was not God. I was one of God's kids, and God wanted me to have another chance at life, and I took it. And so did they, and so will you, you that stood up with less than 6 months. The choice is yours. Be what you dream to be. They can't stop you. You're entitled to have a better life, but you got to believe that you deserve it. I don't know how many thousand women have come to the beginners meeting, and I would say to them, "Is there anything you would ever not do to prevent your daughter from having to experience what you've experienced? Is there anything you would not do so that your daughter would never have to wake up dirty or frightened?" And the answer is no, Frank. There's nothing I wouldn't do. And then I ask this simple question: why won't you do it for yourself? And that's the dilemma when you're new. Why don't you do it for you? You would do it for her. You would give your life for her so that she would not have to know what a drunken woman knows. Why would you not do that for yourself? And one day, out of hundreds, that was answered to me. And here was the answer: because I'm not worth it. And that's bullshit. That's not true. That's not God's plan for you. or me, or anybody that's in this room. This is about hope and caring and sharing, and it's easy. Now, in that Scotland trip, I walked into the Museum of Scotland, and the first thing I saw was a bronze statue of a drunken man on a horse, and it's called Drunk on Steed, 1762. And I realized that there was nothing new about alcoholism. But let me tell you the fear that I had. And it's not a joke. How lucky could I be that I was born when there was an Alcoholics Anonymous and he was not? Did God not like drunks in 1850, in 1905? Was something askew about God's love? So I don't understand that. How could I be so lucky that in my lifetime, Alcoholics Anonymous was there for me? I don't understand that. Why did so many other that came before me have no chance? Well, I guess if I was God, I'd know the answer to that. And I don't know the answer to that, but I still believe there's some kind of a reason. I think there's some kind of reason. For some reason, I don't know. I lost a cousin to bulbar polio. Nobody dies of polio anymore. Why couldn't they have cured polio before that Karen died? I don't know. One day, Tommy, one day they're going to cure cancer. But they didn't cure cancer in time for your daughter. But someday they will cure cancer. And so the bottom line there is, I don't understand everything. But I do know what I see. And I see every day people beating this thing and coming out the other side. Now, I said it over and over and over again. I just want you to know that. And I tell you another thing. If you're sober 15 years and you haven't had that new chance at life, look at what you're putting between you and that opportunity. Because this is not just for newcomers. It's for people that are sober a while and not satisfied with how they're living. And I'm no judge of that, but you are. You're your own judge for your own. And I ask you to ask yourself one question: why is my case different? And I think the answer you'll come to is that it's not. This is free. This is all you want. You can have whatever you want. All you got to do is do these simple little things and believe that God loves you. Thank you very much.